Welcome to a brand new week of Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Hope you had a nice weekend, and isn't the weather just grand today? I know it's a little on the nippy side, but that Ishka has disappeared for a while. My God, if that rain hadn't stopped, we'd all be going round in boats, never mind electric cars. Welcome to the show. Lots of chat and guests over the next couple of hours. I will tell you that John Loden, the money doctor, is in studio with us today, and he'll bring you his top financial tips for 2023 and more besides, of course, between now and 3:30. 086 1800 658 if you want to get in touch with us by WhatsApp or text. But my first guest today is a familiar voice on Late Lunch. It's her first time with us in 2023, and she is so thought-provoking. And again, her column in the Irish Independent on Saturday. Well, I just said we got to talk to her today, and she's with us on the line. Happy New Year, Sarah Carey.
Happy New Year, Gerry Kelly.
Thank you for joining me again. You know, the funny thing is, you reference Anne-Marie O'Sullivan's brilliant column in your paper last week. And myself and Louise were actually talking about this extensively. And then when I saw you building on it the weekend, I say, God, we've got to touch this subject. Because basically, just for our listeners, you're talking about posting photos of your children online is not a great idea. And really, you break it down, Sarah, into three aspects of this. I look, from your column, I know you have rarely, once was it, posted pics of your children?
Yeah, once, about 10 years ago, I did a big feature in the Sunday Independent magazine, and it was all about childbirth and the birth of my three children. And for that feature, they came down and they did a photo of me with the three kids. And then that's it. There's nothing else online of them, as far as I know. I'm not on Facebook. I don't put photos up of them on any social media. And all my family know that if someone is taking a picture, they're not to stick it up on Facebook. So it was a line I drew. And I said at the beginning of the article, Gerry, I usually learn my lessons the hard way. I have to make a mistake and get in trouble and mess everything up before I figure out what to do. But in this one, I was clear from the start that I wasn't putting them online. So, and then I use my married name in my work so people don't know their last name or anything like that. So they're relatively protected, as far as I know, from people trying to look up stuff about my kids because they like or don't necessarily like what I might have to say in my column.
You do understand, and it comes across in what you write. Like, people do love, you know, there are people who post everything. You know, I mean, everything under the sun, but the same with all they post. And I can never just get that. But people do at times love to post, you know, a child's birthday or an achievement or things like that. And it's very difficult, you know, to say to everybody, don't do it.
Yeah, and I really understand, say, Facebook, for example. So the kids aren't on Facebook. The biggest users of Facebook are grandparents. And it's the adult children, and they could be in a different part of the country, they could be in a different part of the world, are able to post up pictures and keep up on family events and parties and celebrations. And I know by me not being on Facebook, I miss loads of stuff that's going on, especially with the outer family, cousins and second cousins. And my mother's on Facebook now. She says, I never post anything, but she looks and she gets to see what everyone is doing. And it's very enriching, you know, for them to be able to keep up on everybody. But I just think the downsides are so risky that people need to think very, very carefully about what they're doing, and that maybe there's another way to share, you know, family events instead. Maybe send by email or on a more limited family WhatsApp group or something like that. But the social media sites, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, are just too public.
Now, you break this, as I said, down into three aspects of this. So let's talk about those for a moment. The first being catfishing or identity theft.
Yeah, and this was the column that Anne-Marie O'Sullivan wrote when she came across a story on Instagram of an influencer who discovered that photographs of her children were copied and were used by someone establishing a fake identity. So that could be somebody anywhere else in the rest of the world who is trying to pretend to be a certain person. And look, here are photographs of my kids. And anyone can do that. You know, you can go on any account and rob photos. And I don't normally listen to the Two Johnnies podcast. It's not my not my field, really. But I heard this story that one of the Johnnies, Johnny B, told very, very bravely. He made himself very vulnerable telling the whole story about how a woman had faked an identity and lured him into a relationship. And one of the tools that she used was she used a friendship group of girls in Hungary. And she would post these under her Instagram and her Facebook to pretend that these were her friends. And it's a really easy, so it looks really authentic. So your children's identity can be stolen for someone else and for their nefarious purposes. And the more detail that you put up, like about their birthdays, about what schools they go to, about what sports clubs that they're in, like it's actually a scammer's paradise. And think about maybe if you have a teenager and somebody wants to go after them, they can track their whole life. So could you imagine some girl coming up to your son or vice versa? And they're able to pretend, oh, yeah, yeah, I was in your school, or, oh, my friend was in your sports club. Like, it makes people really, really vulnerable when you put up all this information about them, given the world that we live in.
And you do go on to add to that, which is something that I never considered till I read what you said. In the future, if your children travel or move to other countries, perhaps in an authoritarian country as well, we know what can happen there. We're hearing it in the news regularly.
Yeah, and at, you know, when the internet was first being developed, authoritarian countries it tried to keep it out and they didn't want sites like Facebook. Then they discovered, actually, this is a huge amount of information we can collect on our citizens. So what would happen is, and I saw this particularly in Iran, or you see it in China, where you might have, let's say you've a grown-up child who escapes and they move to a different country, they live in America. You know, the authorities can use all their information that's on Facebook to then threaten the family. So let's say you have a family member who's gay, and the family back in Saudi Arabia or something could be threatened. Or if you go traveling in Saudi Arabia or other countries like that where there are very restrictive practices, that information is all there. Or, you know, so you don't know what circumstances that people will grow up and enter into and think that they're safe in a country. And it turns out they're not safe there at all. So, you know.
Yeah, another aspect of this to be considered. The second point you focus on is consent. And this is very important and very on the money, may I say, too. Because when they're small and growing up, you are, you know, you do and say for them. But they reach an age, which we all did and will do forevermore, where they are their own individual people and they make their own decisions and their own calls. And then there may be an issue.
Yeah, and I have to say that my children are completely contrary. Like, I can't take any photograph of them without them saying to me, now, where are you putting this? You know, who's this been sent to? Like, they want to know how that photograph is going to be used. And when you have children, say, who are primary school age, or particularly maybe when they're under sevens and under eights, and, you know, they're not educated enough to say, well, what are you doing with this and where is it going? So I think it is interesting that when we talk so much about consent, parents, do they have that consent conversation with their children? Are they saying, do you mind if I put this, you know, up somewhere? And the truth is a small child cannot give their consent. And that information has been plastered all over the world. And then this is the other point I was making, Jerry. You know, again, my kids, and I'm sure a lot of their peer groups are like this, they're very conscious and web-wise about how images can be used and about privacy settings. So, you know, the way you're always seeing politicians and that getting into trouble over messages that they're sending on WhatsApp that are being copied and leaked to the journalists. My kids would never have allowed that to happen because they're all using Snapchat. And Snapchat is a messaging app where as soon as a message is read, it's automatically deleted. And if anybody tries to take a screenshot of the message, you're notified. So you get a message saying Sarah screenshotted your message, Jerry. Yeah. So they're really conscious of taking steps to protect themselves against privacy intrusion. But the parents aren't as educated.
No.
They don't know.
No, we are not that the races.
Like, yeah, and what are their settings on Facebook? Do they understand how to shut it down so that it's only family and only friends? And even if they do that, all it takes is one person to, you know, repost something and then that's it, it's out there. So I find it's really interesting that the children are, or the teenagers anyway, are really up on privacy and how to protect themselves, but their own parents are exposing them.
I think the downside of Snapchat is another aspect of what you say there in the bullying sphere, where somebody, yes, you know, is at somebody, it's gone. You know, there's no record there either. And that's perhaps a downside of it.
Yes. Yeah, there is that. There is that.
Yeah.
Now, I warn my kids all the time if they're, because they do have class chats and group chats and that. And I warn them all the time. You might think you're making a joke about somebody and you don't know that they're at home crying and they're really hurt. Mm. Be super, super careful. And if you ever see anybody teasing or making a joke, you intervene. And, you know, you call a halt to it. You don't just sit there watching it thinking that it's funny or it doesn't matter or it's not your place to intervene. You yeah. always intervene and you call a halt to anything that you see.
Yes. And so, there is, sorry, I'm just jumping on here. There is yeah. the third aspect of this, which is interesting, which is quite different altogether, because where we sit here today in LMFM radio, we're just nearly on the Loudmeath border here. And not far into Meath here, there is this massive, massive data storage centre. And there's talk of a second one to follow. But you say there's an element of, you know, posting everything on social media, all our emails, all the information that has to come into play with these data centres.
Well, I just think it's so funny, Jerry, when people talk, oh, data centres. Oh my God, these terrible data centres. And why does Ireland have to have data centres? What is the data that's in the data centre? It's our data. Now, some of it we can't do anything about. So your banking is all online. So that's the data that's there. Your utility bills are all online. Mm. That's the data. It's your data. They haven't come in from Mars and imposed data from somewhere else. Okay?
Yes.
So if your data is online, yeah, it's going to have to be stored somewhere. So, and I know this big thing about old emails and old photographs. If you go into your Outlook now or your Gmail or whatever server it is used for your email, you could have emails going back 15 years. That's all being stored. Mm. Photographs take up huge space, absolutely huge space. So for someone who is on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever and is posting loads of videos and photos and all of this stuff, that's the data that is being stored. So if we want to reduce our carbon footprint, because the energy these things use is huge, like they're really rapacious. So saving energy and reducing carbon emissions isn't just about trying to walk somewhere or get the train instead of using the car or turning off the heat. It's also about reducing your internet footprint. You go. I did this last year. I started going back and deleting old emails. And there's even thousands of junk emails in your inbox.
Yes.
And that actually is helping to save the planet. So off you go. Start deleting, Jerry.
There's your job. That's my... Actually, I was deleting, believe it or not, I was deleting stuff yesterday that much. You know, you take a load of photographs, five yeah. snaps of this, that and the other. I was getting rid of all those yesterday. But here's the thing now. I subscribe to this cloud thing with Apple each month. You know, I think it's $2.99 and my stuff is, God knows, as you say, it's in that centre, it's in the cloud or whatever. Can you reverse this? I'm just thinking from all these pictures of your children, can you delete it forever to be sure that it's gone?
Yeah, you can. Now, there used to be a dodgy thing about Facebook where if you deactivated your account, they still had some kind of weird ownership thing over the photos. So you weren't sure if they were actually really gone. Mm. But I looked into it when I was researching that article, and I'm almost certain now that when you deactivate the account and you delete everything, I think that means it really is gone. So at least it's definitely inaccessible and you can't get it back. So so I think you're safe enough when you do that, that you can go back and fix this. Also, say on Twitter, there's a service called Tweet Delete. And for about €15, it will go back and delete all of your tweets. And then it will also do a recurring service where it can delete your tweets from, say, you pick a time period, like every 2 weeks, every 3 months, something like that. And it will keep deleting for you, which, again, is something all the politicians and public figures should be using, because, you know, the way somebody goes back and finds a tweet from 10 years ago, you can delete all of that.
Just before you go, and you've been so interesting to listen to, and I'm sure it's given people a lot more understanding today of the implications of all this, taking pics every minute of the day and posting or whatever. I got to mention Andrew Tate to you, because I know you have teenagers yourself there, and I can't believe it either. And again, Louise spoke to me about this about a week or more ago, but this guy, I'd never known him before he was arrested, and I can't believe now that I do a bit more research with children or teens of an age, they're infatuated, especially an awful lot of boys with this guy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Now, again, going back to my teens and how copped on they are. So they're all on TikTok and they're really aware of certain kinds of propaganda. So they were watching all the Russian bot activity with about Ukraine. So they were showing me stuff where the Russian bots were coming in saying, oh, we're denazifying Ukraine and we're saving Ukraine. And they could tell that this was an onslaught of very politicized propaganda designed to get to them. The Andrew Tate one was a more blurry for them. They could see that he was not a very nice person, just wanted a load of attention and was selling this whole thing about masculinity and making these videos complaining about women. And they understood at one level that he was just doing that for attention and to get advertising and make money. At the same time, they'd be joking about some of the things that he was saying and, you know, ostensibly not taking it seriously. And yet, it is still going in if you're exposed to all of this. So they would tell me occasional things he'd say and I'd push back against it and they'd slag me off. Oh, you know, you're just a feminist and that. So it was interesting to see it operate at two levels. And that is why him being arrested has been brilliant, because now they can see, actually, this isn't just internet commercialization, you know, of stuff just to get advertising and boost his ego, that actually real women are being really harmed and authorities are taking action against them. So it was really good that he has been jailed. It'll be very interesting to see how that case plays out. I don't know anything about the Romanian justice system, the robustness of the charges, you know, how the whole thing will play out. I don't know anything about that. But the authorities taking action against him has been an eye-opener. But of course, there's loads more behind him.
Yes, you know, of course. He's only one of many, many, many indeed. And of course, the next thing you're going to hear then from folk is, oh, fake news. You know what I mean? That's fake. Everything that's been he's been charged with is fake. You know, that type of... Anyway, we're going to leave it there today. And I'm sure we'll be back to this, the Tate topic. And you will too, perhaps in the future. We love to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
Not
always
at all.
A pleasure. Great.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Sarah Carey there. Read her in the Irish Independent. Brilliant woman with wonderful opinions. There are many places across the Northeast, aren't there, Louise, that when you look at the spelling, if you were to come in from the outside, or even people within the Northeast, look at the place and the spelling has no correlation with the pronunciation.
Completely different.
And we've identified a number of them in Louth and Meath. So each Monday for the next while, we're going to bring you Monday's misplaced enunciations. Right? So we want to see.
Even say that.
Can you not? No. Misplaced enunciations. You have to say it real fast. It's a new word. Susie Dent will be putting it up in Countdown shortly. Misplaced enunciations. It's Monday's misplaced enunciations on Late Lunch. So today, folks, how would you say, I'll spell it for you, M-U-L-L-A-R-Y. How would you say, don't say it, please.
No, I won't.
We're not going to say
it. It is a place in County Louth.
County Louth. How would you, M-U-L-L-A-R-Y. What is the correct pronunciation of that word, not the mispronunciation?
Tongue-tied.
Anyway, our Lizzie did a little bit of work for us and she spoke to some people and just spelt the word for them like I've done for you, M-U-L-L-A-R-Y. And have you got one there? Let me hear it. Let's have a listen.
Malary?
Not quite, but not a million miles away either. M-U-L-L-A-R-Y. Can you pronounce it? Send us a voice or by WhatsApp, will you? 086 1800 658. No point in texting or WhatsApping us. A voice WhatsApp message. Can you pronounce that word? M-U-L-L-A-R-Y. What way would you pronounce it? What's the correct way to pronounce it? Let's be hearing from you too late lunch
I'll
this
never
afternoon.
Get it.
will you not?
No, and it's been told to me loads of times and I still
say
always
it wrong,
get
do
it
you?
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it just is. It doesn't, as it looks, it doesn't sound when you say it properly. That's true. And we will have somebody from that place, won't we, Louise?
Yep.
Who will definitively tell us how you pronounce Mullay in County Louth a little bit later on. So let's be having your voices to 086 1800 658. John Lowe, the money doctor, is in the house after two. If you have financial questions, get them to us on the usual numbers, 086 1800 658. But taking us up towards top of the hour, news and weather, it's you two and the sweetest thing. Oh, be God, I had a bar of the Fry's chocolate cream the weekend, and that song sums up Fry's chocolate cream. It is the sweetest thing in my book. My next guest is a great friend of ours on Late Lunch, and he's brought it out again. It's the number one bestseller when it comes to financial advice. It's Money Doctors 2023 by Mr. John Lowe. And I'm delighted to welcome him to studio today. Hello again, John.
Jerry, it's such a pleasure being here. It's like, you know, in January, it must be LMFM, the Jerry Kelly show.
There you go. And I have to start by saying, I've been getting a fair few messages congratulating me on Arsenal's victory yesterday. And you being a Tottenham Hotspur man, like, I'm sorry for your troubles, John.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, we will come back. We'll
you
definitely
will.
Come back. But,
you,
you know, Arsenal are actually in a huge vein of form at the moment, aren't they?
Massive. Can they win it, John?
I think they can.
Can they?
I mean, I think historically, at this stage, when they beat, you know, Tottenham, I think the Man United game is going to be the
next
crunch
week.
One.
Yeah. Next week.
That's going to be the crunch
Yeah,
one.
Two form teams. They are the two form teams. They really are. Yeah. So, fingers crossed. Anyway, being an old Arsenal fan, you just always wonder because it's, you know, the way they don't make it when you expect them to. Anyway, congratulations. How many editions is this now?
This is the 18th edition. Yeah.
Oh my, oh my.
And you can see it's bigger and thicker.
Yes.
Because there's an extra 150 pages in it, would you believe? There's a mini book in it. You remember last year I gave the 2022 book to the transition year students?
You did, wonderful.
Well, this year I've gone one better and there's a mini book called Teenagers, You and Your Money, and it's 150 pages. And it's got its own index, and it's at the back of that book, incorporated into the book. So if you have kids who are, especially in the teenage years, from, you know, 13 to 20, actually,
yes,
this is absolutely ideal. Because this all stemmed from my son, by the way. I told you the story where, like, he's 19, he's in UCD, never failed an exam in his life. And he says, Dad, what's an overdraft?
And John said, we got to put this
right,
young
wrong.
Man.
There's something wrong with this.
You have
system,
met a need and it's in this book this year. So it's an extra bonus, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Look, we could spend the next hours and hours beyond this show talking about this book. But let's just concentrate on a few areas.
Yep.
First of all, John, there's lots of talk. I'm even reading it today. It's live in the press because with interest rates rising in Europe and the European Central Bank saying they're going to rise again.
Yep.
If you're on a tracker, should you stick? If you are on other type of mortgages, should you fix at this stage? What's your advice?
Well, believe it or not, this happened even before I left for Australia and even before I left for the European destination in November.
Yes.
Clients of mine, they were taking their mortgages off trackers and putting them onto fixed rates. Now, the fixed rates have now started to move up, unfortunately, and virtually all of the lenders, but I would still move my tracker mortgage at this stage. I mean, tracker mortgage mortgages are now at about maybe 3%, 3.5%. They will go up further.
Mm.
And you can get now fixed rates. I think one of the best 3-year fixed rates now is about 3.35.
Mm.
I would much prefer to have, you know, security of rate at 3.35 rather than subject to the vagaries of the you know, standard variable rate going up, the ECB rate.
Mm.
And it will go up for sure. Sure it'll go up.
So if you have a tracker, John's advice today is to look at the fixed rate and he's giving you a best rate.
And actually the two things there, by the way, is to go back to your own lender. Don't start shopping around now, but go back to your own lender and see, first of all, are you eligible to actually be able to you know, move your mortgage. But ask them, first of all, what fixed rates they have in their own bank, because that'll save you money.
Yes.
You won't need legal fees, you won't need any you know, other kind of valuations and things like that.
Yeah.
So if they have a half decent rate, get their best rate, and then you shop around. Then you see, is there better fixed rates elsewhere? And if there are, then you need three things. Number one, you need to be able to afford the mortgage that you originally got. So that means your income has to be at a certain level. Also, your loan to value. They'll do now 90% loan to value since the 1st of January this year. So if you're kind of, you've got 10% at least equity in your home, then you're eligible. And the last thing, credit history. There's a new body, credit agency, called the Central Credit Register.ie, and they took over from basic ICB.ie, and you can check for free to see, have you been a good boy, a good girl over the last 5 years? Because if anything turns up, it'll be in there.
Okay, they're important points to Very bear important. In mind. Yeah. That's on the big borrowing side, right? And there are other borrowings you can make, of course, for different things. But let's move to savings for a moment, because it seems unfair to me, John, that the ECB rises its rates to borrow money, and yet at the same time, it's not reciprocated for savers.
You're absolutely right. And they just don't care about it, because the marginal rates are so small. I mean, the very best regular saver account at the moment in the market is 0.25%. That's Bank of Ireland, their regular saver account. And you have to save for you know, 12 months between 100 euros and 1,000 a month. Mm. And that's the best rate you can get, 0.25%. On that. So they haven't reflected the interest rates on deposits. I think they will. I mean, the very best product out there in terms of deposit is a 10-year National Solidarity Bond from NTMA, the National Treasury Management Agency. A lot of people think it's the Unpos bonds, but it's the NTMA. And it's 10 years, you get 10% into your fist. It's guaranteed by the government. And that's why so many millions are going in there. 10% guaranteed by the government into your fist. But it's equivalent, when you work it out on a gross basis, it's equivalent to 1.43% per year. As many a model would say, I wouldn't get out of bed for that.
Yes.
You know, 1.43 is not great.
It's small. And I often say to you, and I think it was nearly at 50% at one stage for your 10 years, how it's changed.
That's
see those rates improving? You know, because you have to say, through Unpos, and they are the National Treasury Management Agency, they have an array of products.
They have. They've got,
you know,
the savings
one,
bonds,
three,
savings
5 years.
Yeah. And they're all awful.
Will they rise, John?
Well, in fact, there was up to about 2 months ago, there was a cohort of banks who were leading an assault on the NTMA because the rates were too high. Now, of course, with the interest rates having gone up, they can't really say anything about it. I mean, for instance, the 3-year national savings bonds is a magnificent 0.99%. So that's a third of a percent a year. The 5-year national savings certificate is 3% at the end of 5 years. 3%. So I'd say they're not great. These are not great rates.
And do you see that continuing for the foreseeable future?
For the moment, yes, I do. When I can tell you, from 1991 to 2020, 30 years, right, the average growth in the stock market was 10.72% per annum. Now, you could be unlucky, for instance.
Yeah.
Coronavirus hit 2020 March, and you would have lost 20-30%. If you sat in your chair, did nothing, 4 months later, that all came back again. Now, we're back in the same situation where the Ukraine war last February.
Yes.
Has had a major effect on the stock market, and stocks are way down again. Now, they haven't bounced back because the war hasn't been resolved, but it will eventually get resolved, like all conflict.
So are you saying a stock portfolio, a portfolio of stocks,
over any period of time is
going to
always
better, option?
Is always going to be a better option than, say, property, any asset class. It is the best asset class of them all. But you have to know where you're going and what you're doing.
Yes.
You know?
So you need professional advice.
I particularly like managed funds because, again, one of the reasons about managed funds is they normally will have a safety net. That safety net might be cash or government bonds. For instance, you know, you take, say, Irish Life. They have a fund called the... gotten that, of course, what it is. Anyway, this fund, they've got five choices, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The lower the number, the lower the interest rate, or the lower the return,
risk.
Rather.
Oh, the return.
Yeah, because you've got cash in number 2.
Yes.
Number 3, you've got government bonds.
So the lower the number is, the safer one. So if you win at number one, it's the cautious. If you go up to six, you're taking, you're rolling the dice.
Seven. You are rolling the dice, but that's where the growth is. The growth is in 4, 5, and 6. So usually all of these insurance companies, multi-asset portfolio MAPS, that's the Irish Life Fund.
Yeah.
And so they have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So if you go on number 4 or number 5, now you've got some chance of growth, and you've also, you're taking a kind of a cautious, a relatively cautious thing. You're not going for the very highest, riskiest type of fund. Yeah. But the funds, over any period of time, if you put $10,000 in 1958 into a company called Berkshire Hathaway, because in 69, this guy called, Warren Buffett, who bought his house actually in 1958 for $31,500, and that was in Omaha, Nebraska, right? He bought this house. Today, he's paying more in taxes on that house than it cost him to buy it in 1958. Anyway, that $10,000 today, what's it worth if you did nothing? Just let it go. 400 million.
Oh, my word.
400 million.
But so you're emphasising the fact that over the long term, despite wars, famines, whatever happens in the world,
it always come back.
Crashes.
Look at the crashes in 1929, 87.
It comes back.
It comes back.
So, I have a question here from a listener. I'm due to retire shortly and I'll be due my lump sum, they say as well, and I'm at a loss what to do with it, John. Yeah. I don't want to put it at risk, says the listener. What does John Lowe, the money doctor, recommend?
Well, presumably that lump sum is that, like, the 25% of the pension, is it?
Yes.
So there would be a sizable pension, presumably, coming from that. Again, you know, what I would be doing with a lump sum of that nature, first of all, I'd be looking at all my requirements, like, do you need to change a car? Have you need your home? Do you need that 50-inch color TV, 3D put in there? All of those kind of things you do now, because there's no point in leaving it to your children or your grandchildren. You know, look after yourself now at this stage. Then what monies you have left over, do you want growth? You want to have a rainy day fund. I always say you should have 3 to 6 months net annual income in a rainy day fund for those emergencies, that sudden loss of income, or the investment opportunity to buy a Lebrocky for half nothing. You need the money, you know. So what I would be saying is get that rainy day fund there, available, accessible, and then the balance of it, then you could actually do a mix and kind of match. Like, you could go, for instance, the solidarity bond. This lady is what, 65? So it means 75, she's still considered young. And therefore she can afford to do a 10-year investment.
Yes.
But it's guaranteed by the government. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if you want some growth with some of it, I wouldn't be putting it all into, you know, National Treasury Management Agency products. I would want some of it. And that's what, you never see these tracker bonds where they offer you 90% security, because that 90% security is, it's in a deposit account. The other 10% they've decided to stick into derivatives and various other kind of sophisticated investments to try and make some growth. Sometimes it wins, sometimes it doesn't. But that's where the 90%...
You have the... Yeah.
So it's a mix and match situation.
In your scenario.
But again, that lady needs good advice, solid advice.
The Money Doctor is available as well at any stage, and he's staying with us on Late Lunch. If you have any more questions, 086 1800 658 for John Lowe, send them to us now by WhatsApp or text. John Lowe, the Money Doctor, is with us on Late Lunch, and his go-to book, Money Doctors 2023, is out there now. Number one bestseller, 19th year. We have two copies to give away this afternoon. This will be the Bible that will help you through the year with your borrowings, your savings, your insurance. Everything is included in here, and that section as well for teens. I want to know, who is the Irish Minister for Finance? That is the question today. Who is the current Irish Minister for Finance? For the Money Doctors 2023, answers to 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. He's a happy man, John, with the surplus he has to work with at the minute.
It's a moving feast, though.
Oh, that's the thing.
Who that person is.
Well, there you go. Anyway, who is the Minister for Finance at the moment in the government, please? 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. John, we've spoken for many a year, you and I, and one thing always sticks with me with you at this time of year. You say to people, you got to do a budget. You'll never deviate, will you, from that?
I never. Because, you know, it's so important to understand how much does it cost you to run your life on a monthly basis. Because once you've established whether you've got a surplus or a deficit, if it's a deficit, you've got three choices. You know, earn more, cut costs, or prioritize. That's why, like, 300,000 people over the last 5 years stopped paying the health insurance. So if you're surplus, that means now you can save. You can save that surplus and you can plan. For instance, there are young couples listening to this, I hope, and they'll have maybe, you know, a new baby, and that baby is going to grow up to go to third level. Mm. That third level, if they put the 140 euros state benefit, a child benefit, away from the time the child is born to the time it stops, and that's the 18th birthday, they'll have accumulated 28,560 euro. You're still 14,000 shy of sending the same child to third level. That's how much it costs, 42,000. Yes. So it's all about planning, no matter what you want to do. Even if you're going on holiday this year, it's about planning. How are you going to fund it? So it's really important, therefore, to know, do we have a surplus in our, you know, month-to-month living? Because then you can plan. And, I mean, I give away, actually, a budget planner spreadsheet. It's a really nifty thing. All the categories, and it's taught itself up. And again, if they want to write to you, Jerry, I'd be happy to send you on the template for the spreadsheet. It's fantastic because it'll set you up. Once you just do it once a year,
yeah,
because your circumstances change every year generally, and you do it once a year, and then you'll know how much you can save. Really, really important that.
Questions are coming in. Hi, my mortgage is finished in 2025. That's 3 years' time. I'm on a variable rate, 3.25%, and it's costing me €700 a month at the moment, and I'm pushed to make the payments. Should I leave it on that variable rate or what?
Well, I think that, again, the best advice there would be to go to your own bank and ask them, have they got a fixed rate option, first of all? And if the fixed rate option is anywhere near the variable rate that that lady is paying, or gentleman, I would opt for the fixed rate, because I would want at this point, you know, security of rate, absolutely first and foremost, because again, I'd much rather know what my monthly repayments are going to be for the next 3 years. Mm. If there's only 3 years left, be much better.
There's a lady who wants to know about wills. John, now we could spend forever on wills here, but you made a big play on wills a couple of years ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
You might tell that lady.
I set up, and what was her question, by the way, on the wills?
She wants to know, when somebody passes, where do you go or what do you do regarding a will?
Okay, well, the first thing is you do need the will. The will is the only thing. You might realise that when you draft a will with a solicitor, they'll normally say to you, would you like me to hold the will in safekeeping and I'll give you a copy? Oh, yes, please, that'd be really nice, thank you. Well, the more kind of truthful response would be, well, actually, you need the original will when you're doing probate. So if I have the original will here and you're dead, it means that your executor or your executrix has to come to me, the solicitor, to get the original will. Now, if that's in 40 years' time, that solicitor might say, look, I've had this for 40 years. You want the will now, you've got to pay me a fee. Or they may be so bereaved that they say, you take care of that because, you know, I can't do the probate. The probate is the simplest thing in the world to do. Honestly, it's so simple. Because when you look at the web link that the probate office in Dublin give you to get the application form that anybody could fill out, that web link is courts.ie/applying-probate-without-solicitor. So the whole thing is that 70%, and this is not against, by the way, solicitors. There are people like, you know, Michael O'Leary and all these big shots who have Michael Smurfit, for instance. They'll have huge amount. They need a battery of accountants and solicitors. But for the 70% of this country, don't have a will. And the problem here is that they're so struck by the gobbledygook and the all the various things. So what I did was I did a DIY will where you never need, if you have a house, maybe two houses, you've got a set of golf clubs that you want to give to a son or a nephew, or and you've got a few accounts, bank accounts, then the simplest thing to do is set up this, look at that DIY will option. It's only €50 and you never need to see a solicitor ever again.
And that is available from moneydoctors.ie.
/wills.
Okay, that is there if you want it that simple. But in your case, that lady, if the will is with a solicitor, you got to go there and kick the process
off. Wherever the will is, she has to go there. And the will actually nominate who the executor or executrix is. That's one of the key parts of a will. So if she is the executor or executrix, she'd be the executrix, obviously, then she would know that where that will is, because usually the testator, the person who wrote the will, would have told the executor or executrix where the will is based.
Yes.
And therefore, she'd have to go...
Did you say that 70% of people don't have wills?
Don't have a will in Ireland. 70%. And they're too frightened, really, to bother with it, you know.
That's an horrendous number.
It's absolutely incredible.
And it's just causing bedlam down the road for...
It will definitely. People. And basically, if you die intestate, which is without a will, you have to go to the High Court to get letters of administration. Now, you can still half do it yourself, but 99% of people now go to a solicitor at that stage. Mm. So they have you whatever way you...
Yeah,
so it's... And it's a very simple operation. I did my own mother's. Mm. And I saved thousands, of euro.
Yeah, so
because that's where the money is.
Moneydoctors.ie/wills will get you the information there. Just before we finish, switching again, you know, I had a call last week from my electricity supplier, and I stayed with the same guy because they were offering me a better deal. It was with Bord Gáis, I'll just tell you that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a better deal than what I was on. But switching everything, health insurance, car insurance, your energy suppliers, banks, mortgages, you're the biggest fan of. People who stay with the one for years and years.
If they're getting value, I agree, stay with them if you're getting value. But I can guarantee you're not. I guarantee you're not. Therefore, whenever anything comes in, like car insurance, don't just pay the renewal. Go and get two quotes, not one quote. Get two quotes and see can you better the deal. And then if they go back, what I don't like, to be honest, is where you go back with a quote saying, I got XYZ to give me a quote and they have beaten you by 30%. Or we'll match that. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. I wouldn't go with them. I said, you should have done that in the first place.
You'd go with the alternative I'll that I've given you. That. So there's another tip for you today. Yeah, you know, I'd sort of use it as a rod to beat the existing one with. You're right. It is shocking when you think about it, isn't it?
They should have bought it in the first place.
Yeah, why didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, God
so,
almighty.
So this is one way of you know, you being in the driving seat. That you are in control. You need to be in control of your finances. And by the way, 2 hours a month, that's what I would suggest to everybody. Spend 2 hours on your own finances, you will reap the benefits. So, you know, reconcile your accounts, make sure that, you know, do that budget plan. Oh my gosh, do the budget plan, make sure that you've got enough money coming into the household. It's not a question of just saving anywhere, wherever, you know, turn down your thermostat by 1 degree, you'll save 10% of your annual bill. You know, put full kettles or only half kettles of water if there's only a couple of cups of tea, or, you know, fill the washing machine with full loads and dishwasher the same. You know, all the sensible things that you need to do to try and save money. It's not just being mean, frugal or miserable. It's actually getting value. 2023 is all about getting value for your money.
Yeah, and you will get value if you purchase the Money Doctors 2023, the 19th edition. It has everything in it. He's thrown the kitchen sink at you today with this one. We have two copies to give away. The question is this: who is the Irish Minister for Finance for a copy of John's book? It'll put you right for the year ahead and beyond. Answers to 086 1800 658 is the number. Get your answer into us as soon as you can, and we'll get the book out to you before the end of the show.
It's a bit like, you know, the book now is so heavy. You know, the old advert, you need two hands just to hold that thing.
And I'll tell you one thing, leave it in the hall, and if anyone comes near your front door that you have a little bit of a bother with, boom, it's available for that too. John Lowe, as usual, thank you so much for joining us at the start of the year again. And we'll be in touch, and we'll be talking, I'm sure, over the weeks and months ahead. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Thank you.
Yes, the Gunners fans ask me, what do you think, Jerry? Can we dare to dream as Arsenal fans this year? Oh, no, I wouldn't dare to dream. Sure, the football season is only halfway done at the minute. There's a full half of the season to go. Arsenal have to play Manchester City twice. Man United next weekend. United are the real form team in the Premier League, and they know if they win, they're banging that title race as well. Now, if Arsenal were to win it, well, but there's an awful long way to go. And, you know, with injuries and everything, and Chelsea robbing your most prized transfer target over the weekend. Don't get me started on that. Anyway, let's hope. There's hope. They're doing well. They're atop of the table at the minute. Let's see what happens. Late Lunch LMFM Radio. My next guest, well, she joined me last year. I think it was around summertime, July time. We had a great chat. And I spotted her recently in the Irish Times as one to watch in 2023. Yes, they selected 50 young people from all around the country. And when it comes to food and culinary, yes, Rohan Byrne from Drogheda is right in there. Rohan, afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really, really good. Well, 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 young woman. What about this in the Irish Times? You must be chuffed.
Yeah, no, it was really exciting.
Yeah, because, you know, they picked 50 and you're one of that 50. May I say, Rohan, as well, your hair is very fetching, your hair colour.
Thank you so much.
Were you always that vivid red colour? Is that a recent thing with you?
I've kind of been every colour of the rainbow with my hair, but the orange has been since about, I think, January last year. But it wasn't as kind of bright orange as it is now.
Right, so it's bright orange. I'm off the mark even with the red, am I? It's bright orange is the exact colour, is it?
Yeah, kind of orange red.
Yeah, yeah, you stand out. It makes you stand out for sure. Anyway, we did speak last summertime. You were in the news then because you were announced as one of Bord Ishkiwara's Taste the Atlantic Young Chef Ambassadors. And you were travelling around the country, you were telling me that time, meeting various people. I just see Sally Barnes mentioned in West Cork. You spent a bit of time with her, did you?
Yeah, so during the Tasty Atlantic Ambassadorship, we actually, Jess Murphy and Tara Gartland got in contact with me about they wanted to kind of start a non-profit organisation for women in food, like producers, chefs and all that. So they kind of started like a massive group chat and stuff, and we all got in contact with different women supporting each other. So I was down in Clonakilty with the Tasty Atlantic crew, and Sally said that she was nearby, so she came and collected us and we got to go up and see the workshop and everything. It was absolutely insane. It was really cool.
She's some woman, I have to say. Her smoked salmon, and she used smoke. I don't think she can get them now, the wild Irish salmon. They're like so rare and scarce. But she is, I think, still smoking salmon. But her smoked wild salmon, I'd have to say, was the best ever I've tasted. And I'll tell you, she does the kippers as well, the herring. I take it she's still at all that stuff.
Yeah, and the tuna as well.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So lovely. I've never had that before, but it was unreal.
Had you not? Yeah. And what's her secret? What has she got? How does she do it? What is it, Rohan? Did you figure that out? No?
I think it's purely her personality. It comes through in everything she does. She just loves what she does, you know?
She does. She's passionate about it. But when I saw her name mentioned, she's very, very special. JP McMahon, you spent some time with too?
Yeah, JP is absolutely insane. He was our culinary mentor for the program, and so we got to do like a few different workshops full days with them, working in the kitchen down the near to like test our dishes. So he actually gifted us the Irish cookbook that he has, which is really, really cool. So we got to do a lot with him, and he's been absolutely so supportive. And just going to food on the Edge and everything is his symposium he has every year. So. And some really cool events.
Are you still part of that programme, or is it wrapped up at this stage?
So it's every summer they're going to take on 5 new ambassadors, and so you kind of train for the summer, and then the idea is that you're a lifelong ambassador for Irish seafood. So the kind of training programme and like the height of it is during the 3 months that you're picked, and then after that you kind of keep the knowledge and sustainability and all practices up.
I was thinking music when I was thinking about you. Now, you might think I'm mad here, what I'm going to say, but when you mentioned the 3 degrees, you're one of these exclusive people who's a member of the 3 degrees, but it's a culinary 3 degrees. You're on your third one.
Yeah, I'm doing a master's in gastronomy and food studies at the minute.
Good stuff. And where are you doing that? TUD, is it?
TUD is where I did my other 2 degrees, yeah.
And what have you under your belt already? Tell us about the other two.
So I have a Bachelor of Science in Baking and Pastry Arts, and then I have a Bachelor of Arts in Culinary Arts. So wow. I did those the last 4 years and then moved into the Masters.
Terrific. And are you working? You know, as you do all this studying and being an ambassador and all around the country, do you actually hold down a job?
Yeah, I did up until kind of last summer, and then I decided to go full time into the masters and throw myself into that. But at the minute, I'm actually developing my own company with a few of my friends and stuff. So that's all upcoming. I'll give it a tell you more soon. But yeah.
Yeah, good on
my
you.
My own company. So.
How could you hold it? And what am I talking about? Am I mad? Because it would just be near nigh impossible to do that. But okay, you're head over heels into the masters now. And beyond that, like the formation of this company, is that where you see yourself going? Where do you see yourself in the next few years doing?
Yeah, so during the masters, we had a really cool module that was in the history of Irish food. So learning about, just like we learned about even Ireland before the potato and stuff like that, and just going way back in our history. So I just really enjoyed that. And everything I kind of want to do and work, I'd say will come in that area in some sort.
Yeah. So it's a moving type of feast. Sorry for the pun at this point in time where you're going. It's open. You could move a little bit left or right. Is that what you're saying, depending on what evolves for you?
Yeah, so I'm hoping the company that I'm working on will be kind of my main thing, and then have little extras that I'm doing along the way.
Yes, yes. Sure, look at you. You're building so much experience with all your educational qualifications and everything else besides. It's an exciting year you have ahead. I'm not surprised they've picked you out, certainly, as one to watch. In terms of Ireland, a couple of things on the culinary scene that you'd be well aware of. Since the pandemic, and, you know, you see the pressure that restaurants are under with the costs, and on the other hand, getting staff, they're two huge issues, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely massive. I can't, the amount of pressure on anyone from producers to chefs to restaurants at the minute is insane. I'm hoping that things will change for them soon, and that it'll just get a little bit easier, and hopefully more supports will come through and stuff from the government and different bodies. But it's just an absolutely mad time. Like, the cost of ingredients, especially even for bakeries and things. Like when sugar went up 60%, like that, it's closed a lot of well-loved businesses, which is really, really disappointing to see.
Yeah, I'm sad to see that when I see places going. And as you're right, the energy cost, the knock-on effects to producers and then restaurants buying in that stuff. What about as a career? You know, like the hours are, you know, I don't have to remind you, Rowan, you put in your time yourself working in kitchens, etc. It's unsociable, it's out of hours, it's hard work. Does that put younger people off?
I think it definitely can, and it depends. I think it's really important to figure from the media kind of what's portrayed. So shows that kind of show only a funny negative side can be a little bit harmful, in that there's a lot of companies at the minute and people working really, really hard to make it a good industry, like people like Mark Anderson and Gather and Gather and stuff like that, and Pauline Cox. Like, they are like really, really good wages, like they have a range of working hours to everybody. So I think it's really important to kind of show the ones that are doing it right. And there's definitely, I think chef is a really cool career. And if you get into a company like Gather and Gather and some of the really good ones, you can have, like, you can travel the world and have amazing experiences. So I think for young people, I think once you're careful about where you go into it, I think you could have a really, really amazing experience. I loved being a chef.
So there you go.
I hope it doesn't put people off too much.
Yeah, no, and I hear what you're saying. You know, those programs are entertainment, really, and you know how hot it can become in the kitchen, and it's not an easy environment to survive in. I see Richard Corrigan has got a little bit of publicity for his new venture in Dublin over the weekend. He mightn't be too happy about.
Yeah, I think that's it's, you know, important that things get seen and stuff like that, but I think definitely I'd always be like putting as much focus and publicity on just like on my own Instagram stuff on the employers that are really good. So if there's any young people and stuff that want to be chefs, there's a lot of chefs like JP and Jess Murphy and stuff like that, that if you follow them, they'll always push forward the really good ones to work for. I don't know anything about that one myself.
Yes. I know that. And as well as that, it is a tough business at times, and you know, it can get hot in the kitchen. I know that as well. But yeah, it was just interesting to read that. And I love Richard, and I've interviewed him here on the show, and I admire him greatly. And it's only one small story in a bigger picture, of course, with his whole organisation here in Ireland and Britain. Mm-hmm. And it was one side of it, and of course you'll hear another side of it too. Well, listen, it's an exciting year ahead for you, Rowan Byrne. Yeah. And I wish you well with all you do. You are one to watch, and I know your family and everybody is so proud of you, and good luck to you wherever life takes you and whatever you do over the next 12 months and beyond. Thank you so much for joining me again on the show.
Thank you very, very much. Have a lovely day.
You too. Bye-bye. That's Rowan Byrne there, one of the young people really going places in 2023. She's lovely, isn't she? And we wish her well. Late Lunch, LMFM Radio. MULLARY. How do you say it? Stay with us. You're going to find out. Can't say, it's very hard to say. It's Misplaced Nunciation Monday on Late Lunch. Yes, Misplaced Nunciation Monday. And today's place we're talking about is in County Louth. It's spelt MULLARY. So how do you say it? Let's have a listen to some of your interpretations of MULLARY.
Nullary.
Mm-hmm. Mullery, Jerry, Caroline Burke, Baliva County Meath.
Mullery, says Cam. Mullery. We have a couple more here. More people want to tell us how to pronounce the word. Let's hear them.
Mullery.
Not
Mullery.
So. Go on.
Mullery.
Have we another one?
Mullery.
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 Yes, in and around. And I suppose if you look at it, MULLARY in County Louth, I would say, looking at it on face value, you'd say Mullery. The Valley Inn is situated in this townland, and John O'Connell is the man who's serving up wonderful food there, and he's on the line, and I'm sure he can clarify what it is. Okay, John O'Connell, how do you say it?
How are you doing, Jerry? Good afternoon to you. It's Mullera.
How do you get Mullera from MULLARY, John?
You know something? I was asking a couple of the local people that's here this year actually about it over the weekend.
Yeah.
And there was one man in particular, and he said to me, you know, my father and my grandfather is buried in a cemetery in Mullera. And he said, if you heard anyone calling it Mullery, he'd probably turn in his grave. That's the way that he described it. And he's lived here all his life. He said it was never known as anything else, only Mullera. But he said in the last couple of years, people are calling it Mullery. Mullera is my thing.
Yes, yes. And John, I'd go along with you because I'm from the town, of course, but we spend a lot of our time out there in the fields with my dad. We were hunting and ferreting and, you know, all out through the land picking mushrooms, yeah. And we'd be out that neck of the woods. And again, he and everybody from that generation would always say Mullera.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely Mullera.
Yeah.
And that's for sure.
And John, you know, when you advertise or people talk to you about the place there or whatever, you use the correct pronunciation, the Valley Inn Mullera.
Valley Inn Mullera, the Leo County Loud.
And all your ads say the same as well. I know that as well. So you use the right pronunciation. But it's not hard to understand why people would just, as I say, look at it here on the page and say Mullery, John.
Yeah, it's probably with the way it's spelled.
Yes.
It's just probably the pronunciation. Different people over the years, it's just kind of seemed to change, you know.
Yeah.
For me, it's Mullera. There's no doubt about that.
It's Mullera for sure on the Valley Inn, right at the heart of it there on the old Dundalk Drogheda Road, of course, there between Monaster Boyce and Dunlear. Anyway, John, long may it be Mullera and long may you be there looking after so many people in the Valley Inn. Thank you for clarifying, John.
No bother, Jerry. And just before you go, can I ask you to do something? I'm just here at the minute with my dad. He's 95 years of age today.
Yeah.
Would you wish him a happy birthday?
What's his name?
Christy
O'Connell.
But he's just always known as Christy Conley. He never bothered using the O at all.
Oh, I see.
He's 95 today, and he's sitting here, not a bother on him.
Well, look, we are delighted to have Christy mentioned on Late Lunch this afternoon. And may I wish Christy Connell the happiest of 95th birthday. And we'll dig out a song from now in a moment, so we will then play it from John.
No bother, Jerry. Thanks a million. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great
Bye-bye.
Stuff. Thanks a million. John O'Connell there from the Valley Inn. Louise, have we? Would we have Glenn Campbell there? If you look at your other computer, if you would for me there, and we'll dedicate it to Christy and somebody else as well this afternoon, because I want to say a big hello to Olive Clutterbuck, my neighbour from the North Road in Drogheda. I met Olive with our son Paul downtown the weekend, and I hadn't seen her for ages and ages, and I told her on Late Lunch on Monday I'd say hello to her. She's a big LMFM listener and listens to Late Lunch every day, and she's one of the original residents on the North Road now at this stage in Drogheda that remains there. And of course I have to mention Ollie Whelan, or Ollie Devlin too, another stalwart of the North Road, and I want to say hello to both of them this afternoon. And great to see Olive and hear that they're hale and hearty as well, and I wish them all the very best. Wonderful people from my childhood. Well, there you are. Christy Connell is 95 as well today. So for all of you, I'll dedicate this Glen Campbell number. Enjoy.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind.
Now, John Lowe, the money doctor, with us earlier on the show. Love John, he's just fantastic. An independent financial advisor, which is someone you should always talk to. I have three copies of his 2023 Money Doctor's Bible, is all I can call it, to give away to you this afternoon. And my question was, who is the Irish Minister for Finance? It's Micheál McGrath. Is the Irish Minister for Finance, Micheál McGrath. And I have copies of John's book going to Kate McKenna, Claire Gargan and Gerard McManus this afternoon. You get copies of those books and they'll be winging their way to you after the show today. Thanks to everybody who got in touch with us and looked for copies of John's book. This time, Late Lunch each afternoon. We're going to do this year.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Counting down the top five songs from this week of yesteryear. And today it's
January 1982. And the number five in our top five countdown today comes to us from the Human League, and it's a very famous song. Yes, this song indeed was released in late 1981 and became, even though it was only released in November, it became the biggest UK single of that year, selling 1.56 million copies ultimately. It was the Christmas number one. It was number one for 5 weeks. But on this week in 82, it had slipped down to our number five. Yes, it's the Human League, and Don't You Want Me.
Don't you want me, baby?
Human League, Don't You Want Me. Number five in our top five countdown from this week. In the year of our Lord, 1982, and we'll bring you your 4, 3, 2, 1 over the coming days until Friday, round about this time on Late Lunch. Dermot Kennedy, something to someone on your Late Lunch this Monday afternoon. I came across something really interesting at the weekend from Boston in the United States, where scientists have, in mice, discovered and gained the knowledge and the ability to reverse aging. It's a remarkable, remarkable thing. You should check out the story. They've been experimenting with mice for some time and they can actually regress an older mice's age because they've found that within the DNA of the mice is the code, the aging code, and it can be reprogrammed backwards. Louise, if you were a mouse and they could reprogram you backwards... I know you don't like mice. What age would you...
I don't think anybody could reprogram me.
Well, it's you that said it. What age... If you could, I was just thinking about this. You know, they're working on this at the moment and there's, of course, more research, a lot more to be done. But could you see this being something in the future that when you reach an age, they turn back the clock and regress you to your teens or your 20s? Would you like
you
to go
start
back?
Again, your memory would be all erased, would it?
I don't think
Or would you
so.
Just regress well, you see, in terms of youthful looking?
Yeah, well, you'd look the same, but I think your whole body would go backwards of that. I'm not sure about this at all. Would it be a good thing to be able to regress people back in age, do you think? You know, to
could
move.
You see, I don't know if you could go back maybe to a year that you loved and whatever, but if you're regressing back to basically living your life again and not making the mistakes,
You see, now there you, now you're talking.
But would you remember? Like, are they going to regress you that you will remember being 30 when you're like 17 and all in between? Or are you just going to make the same mistakes all over again?
Funny, Sarah Carey mentioned this at the start. You remember her saying that if she's ahead of the posse with posting the photos on social media, but she's had to make so many mistakes, like all of us. We make mistakes. Mistakes teach you and you learn through your life. I don't actually know about that, but at the end of it anyway, they're very, very, very positive about the breakthrough because it's within the DNA.
But you're changing... You know, if you go back and you don't remember anything and you're living your life again, I don't know, would you live your same life or like would you change the course of your future by, you know, ending up with a different wife or husband or, you know, then you'd end up with different kids and then you've wiped out their future.
It's a huge, huge question, isn't it? It's a huge question. But if it could be used to deal with disease like Alzheimer's, things
fantastic.
Like that, wouldn't it be fantastic if there was an application there?
Or imagine looking 25 for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I don't think they can change the body of the mouse.
Can they not? So, well, then there's no point.
So you could be a 60-year-old with the mind of a 16-year-old. Imagine. Well, there's a lot of 60-year-olds with 16-year-old minds.
That's
anyway.
True.
That is very true, so it is. Anyway, at the end of
what age is your mind?
Very youthful. Very young, you know that yourself. Always on
the What age would you go back to? If you could, for even for one day. So, I mean, you're not going to change really much future in one day, but even if you could relive a one day.
I think I'd go back to my 20s,
Would you?
Sometime in my 20s, I would. Yeah, I would. Early, mid 20s, sort of around that time. Yeah, I think I'd go back to then.
What trouble did you cause back then?
Not a lot. I was a very, very sensible boy. And I'd go mad. Yeah. I'd go back to my 20s where I'd go nuts altogether. Anyway, at the end of the story, the chief researcher and scientist said his hot tips are, in your life today, focus on plants for food, eat less often, get sufficient sleep, lose your breath for 10 minutes 3 times a week by exercising vigorously to maintain your muscle mass. Don't sweat the small stuff and have a really good social group. So even for all his research, he's returning to those, you know...
Yeah, tried and tested.
Yes, that can
And help. Have a good moisturiser.
Of course. Honey and porridge oats. But
are you still using it, really?
I'm still eating it. Never mind.
So you're going to be youthful from the inside out.
Yeah. I think that's the great thing about that face
your
mask.
Gut
I tried
is
on
being
Friday.
Moisturized.
Yes, you can help the visage and then eat it afterwards. Nothing goes to waste. It's the supreme eco face mask, the honey and the porridge oats. Anyway, watch this space. It is a serious piece of research, besides that's ongoing at the moment and a real big breakthrough, they say. We hadn't Carrick McCross Toy Library for you today, but we hope to have them for you in the future. We promise you that. Anyway, coming up on Late Lunch tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah,
afternoon.
Love Island's on tonight.
Love Island starts tonight. Mm. It's in Australia, is it? I think I'll leave this run to yourself, so I will. But I mightn't just make it for this evening. You mightn't make it either,
I might make it. Yeah, we'll carry on from tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow afternoon on Late Lunch. I'll have to listen to him again anyway to improve the accent. Karen Daly is here. She knows all about looking after yourself. Sinead Kelly with veterinary advice. Kieran McDonagh is a young man going places with his new guitar. And we have your two on Tuesday and more besides. Eddie Caffrey's coming next year on LMFM Radio with The Drive. Stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow with your Tuesday show from 1:30. See you then.